sermon this evening is from Ephesians chapter 4. So if you would please stand as we read this. Ephesians chapter 4. Be reading. I'm going to go back just a few verses, and your bulletin says 4, verse 20, but I'm going to go to verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, and read to verse 32. This is God's word written to you, his people. May he use it to sanctify you and to edify you and to teach you and to glorify himself. Hear the word of the Lord. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. May God use the reading of his word to sanctify you as people and to bring glory to his name. If you're not there in your Bible, turn to the book of Ephesians once again. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 for the focus point of our sermon here. And I'm going to read them once again. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Pray with me once again as we prepare to hear God's word. Father God in heaven, we do ask that you would now speak to us. Open our hearts and our minds and our ears. Lord, show us the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may follow him in every way. Write these words upon our hearts. Enable us by your Spirit to obey them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, several years ago, I had a close friend of mine who was diagnosed with some form of cancer, in which the cancer was in his bone marrow. And to treat this cancer, he had to have all his bone marrow pumped out of his body. He had to be placed in a bubble. And while he was in that bubble, his bone marrow would be cleansed of this cancer. And then that bone marrow would be inserted back into his body. Well, this treatment worked, but the cancer had already done so much damage to his organs that he later succumbed to that damage. But the process that they use describes to us something that illustrates what Paul is teaching here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32, and that is this, that the old, infected, diseased, sin-ridden man must be put off. And the new man, the new creature created in Christ Jesus in true righteousness and holiness must be put on. That is what the Scripture teaches us here tonight. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, calls those who are in Christ, as we read in verse 20, to put off the old man. That man who once walked in darkness in the things of God, things which were manifested in their conduct, in the way that they lived. It was obvious the way that the old man lives. He was separated from God. And then Paul tells us then to put on the new man for those who are in Christ. This too relates to not only your current conduct, but your future conduct as a person who is created new in Christ Jesus. Paul says in verse 20, if you have learned from Christ, if you have heard him, if you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, then a true transformation has taken place. It has taken place. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus, created by God in righteousness and holiness. And to teach us this particular application for how we are to live as a new man, Paul uses, as he typically does, a list of things that we used to be and things that we are now. He often does contrast these lists. You once were this way, but now you are this way. And that's what he's done here in verses 25 to 32. He gives us a list. He tells us that the old man's conduct was that of lying, sinful anger, stealing, corrupt speech, all of which, he says in verse 30, are behaviors that grieve the Holy Spirit. The new man's conduct, however, empowered by the Spirit of God, is to be just the opposite of that first list. And Paul attaches each one. He gives the contrast there as you read verses 25 to 32. He gives the contrast to each behavior that is of the old man with the behavior that we're to put on in the new man. So this new man behavior is speaking truth, not holding on to anger, working and giving rather than stealing, speaking edifying words that give grace to the hearers. And all these things, by contrast to the old man, which grieves the Holy Spirit, these things that the new man does, they please the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul is calling us to. But there is still more to this, for Paul has to say more about the old man versus the new man. And that's our focus tonight. In verses 31 to 32. And I would put these two men against each other in this way. The old man is a bitter man. The new man is a forgiving man. And that in particular tonight is what you are going to be exhorted to put on. To put on the new man. And in these two verses, we're going to look at one of the most important behaviors of the new man, if you could rank them. Forgiveness and being a forgiving person has to be really high up on that list. And tonight I'm talking about forgiving those who have sinned against you. Forgiving those who have truly hurt you and harmed you. And sometimes because that comes from people who are closest to us, that sin and that hurt and that harm runs very deep. And yet the new man is called to be a forgiving person. And tonight we're going to look at this subject under three headings. The old man before Christ lives in bitterness. And that's in verse 31. The new man in Christ lives in forgiveness. Verse 32. And lastly, the God-man, Jesus Christ, is the reason we forgive. So let's look at verse 31. The old man before Christ lives in bitterness. Before we go into looking at the details of this verse, I want to ask you a question that I want you to wrestle with before we even move on. Because we're not here to theorize. We're not here to just hear a talk. We're here to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And so I want to ask you this question. Do you have any bitterness towards anyone? And I will make this even more particular. Husband and wife, is there any bitterness between you and your spouse? Parent and child, is there any bitterness between you? Sibling to sibling, whether you be an adult or young people, whether you be living with your siblings even now, do you have bitterness towards them for sins they may have committed against you? Brother to brother in Christ, sister to brother, sister to sister in Christ. Do you have any bitterness towards any of these people or even others that I might have left out? We need to come to this passage not in search of knowledge, but in hope that God would help us forgive anybody and everybody who has sinned against us, no matter how lightly or how deeply they have sinned against us. This passage comes to us tonight to bring us to the point of acknowledging that and to search our hearts and to see if we can join the psalmist in Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24, and say to the Lord, I wonder if you could say this tonight, if you have bitterness in your heart, if you have an unforgiving spirit, could you say this with the psalmist in Psalm 139? Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, which bitterness would qualify for that. And lead me in the way everlasting. That is where I want to bring you tonight, to that point, that you would expose yourself to the Lord and let Him look into your life and search these things out. Because we'd be very quick to answer, I can't think of anybody that I'm bitter towards. And maybe you're not, and I'm not trying to say you are. But what I am trying to say is lay yourself open before the Lord's inspection, that you may put on the new man and put off the old man. And if you are ready to have the Lord search you and to know your heart and to try and prove you and to know your thoughts and see if there's any way wicked in you that He may lead you in the way everlasting. If you are ready to do that and you are ready to hear the word of the Lord and what He has to say about bitterness and putting it away, because bitterness is an old man way of living. It's an old man way. It is not manifest of what Christ has done in making you a new creature. Just as Paul said in verse 22, to put off the old man concerning your former conduct. To put off the old man concerning your former conduct. What was your former conduct? That's what we read in verses 17 to 19. You used to be like that. That's your former conduct. And you are to take that off, like taking off a jacket and putting it away. And bitterness is part of that. And what I want you to notice first, that whatever bitterness is, whatever it looks like, and we're going to talk about that, I want you to understand this premise, that in the new man, there's no room for it. Not even the littlest speck. There's no room for it in the new man. The Spirit of God does not allow for it in the new man. For He tells us here in verse 31, look at the first three words. Let all bitterness be put away. All bitterness. It means each and every instance in all kinds of bitterness. And it leaves no room for even the slightest bitterness. And as we look at the words here in verse 31 that follow bitterness, while they could stand on their own and we could say we're not to be doing any of those things, they are particularly helpful in informing us what bitterness looks like. I want you to look at verse 31. Let all bitterness. And if we were to use the following words as a definition to fill out what bitterness is, we would see that he is talking about wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. And if you look at bitterness and if you've seen it in yourself and if you've seen it in other people, these are exactly the ways that bitterness manifests itself. This is another of Paul's lists that he gives to us here in verse 31. And then he contrasts, as we'll see in just a moment, he'll contrast that list in verse 32. But as we look at this first one on the list, let all bitterness be put away, we must ask ourselves, what is bitterness? Bitterness is poison. And that's what it means in its root definition. And we know what bitterness means when we taste it with our tongues. And depending on the degree of that bitterness that we might taste something with, we would naturally avoid that taste. And the bitter taste on our tongues, praise God, is a warning to us in our bodies, this is probably something you don't want to eat. Depending on how bitter that thing is, it can be a warning to us that it is dangerous, that it could even bring death. And so it is here in bitterness in our relationships with one another. Bitterness is very dangerous. Why is that? Because bitterness grows. And bitterness reaches places we never intended for it to go. And bitterness destroys. And it destroys everything that it touches. Bitterness is hatred. And it's usually reserved for someone who has done something to someone else and caused harm by sinning against them. Bitterness also springs up when we believe we have been treated unfairly or not given the respect or recognition that we deserve. Usually that comes from someone else, in particular, in a personal relationship. Bitterness may begin because of what some person has done to us, or not done to us that we felt they should have. But I want to tell you that bitterness doesn't stop there. Bitterness is also connected to our relationship with the Lord. That's one of the things that is deceiving about bitterness, is that we think we can use bitterness as a laser-like tool, and we can begin to say to ourselves, yes, that person has hurt me, and I'm not going to forgive, and we can think that we are just going to control it, and it will not affect any other relationship that we have. But bitterness is not like that. It affects our relationships. It even affects our relationship with the Lord. For to be bitter and unforgiving is to say to the Lord, why have you let them hurt me, Lord? Why did you not stop them? And why did you let this hurt so bad? Lord, why did you not take care of me? These are all things that have the potential to be expressed when we are bitter towards someone who has sinned against us. And let me say, I am not denying that people sin against us. It is real. Paul just said in that list, in verses 25 to 30, he gives this list of things that we as new men, women, boys and girls in Christ should not be doing. And yet, why is he saying that? Because at times we do. And these things hurt one another. As I mentioned, each one of these words that follow the word bitterness could stand on their own, have their own definition, but they certainly do manifest what bitterness looks like. And so let's look at these words. Wrath and anger speaks to us of that passionate desire to see someone get what they deserve because of what they did to us, what they did to me. Oftentimes we think we can hold that in. And oftentimes bitterness doesn't show its ugly and evil head until some opportunity arises where we can lash out at the person who has done something to hurt us. And oftentimes it comes out in wrath. It comes out in anger. Clamor and evil speaking, which speaks to us of a loud outcry and harmful speech. Oftentimes bitterness is manifested through a loud cry against somebody, speaking evil of them, seeking to hurt them with the same or not, if not more, force that they have hurt us. In the last part, Paul says, with all malice. Malice is a desire to bring harm. This is what bitterness looks like. Wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking, with all malice. And oftentimes we are able to disguise bitterness, to hide it and to hold it in. But that doesn't mean these things aren't there. It doesn't mean that there's not these desires to do these things towards the other person. Well, this is what bitterness looks like. It starts in the heart and grows into actions that return harm for harm and evil for evil. We do well to be reminded what Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 15 says. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully. Look carefully. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Many become defiled because they are bitter towards other people. Many become defiled because bitterness, as a seed in somebody's heart, grows and is fed and springs up to cause trouble. That's a warning about bitterness. And before we can put something away, as we are called to do here in verse 31, Paul says, put these things away from you. Before we can put something away, we must know what it is and we must know where it is. And if bitterness manifests itself in these actions that I've just spoken of here in the Scripture, then you can bet it started in the heart. It started in a heart that is hurt, started in a heart that is damaged, started in a heart where a person had expectations that were not met. It starts in the heart, like a seed. And as Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15 tells us here, it grows up into a root, clinging to its flesh. A good root is strong. A good root clings to what it's growing in. And bitterness is like that. It holds on. And one day, in some cases, it just springs up and causes trouble. And by this root of bitterness springing up, many have become defiled. And that is why we as new people in Christ Jesus, and I remind you, we must ask the Lord to search us, to know us, to test us, to see if there's any wicked way, to see if there is any bitterness in our application, we would say tonight, and to lead us into the way of everlasting life. Again, I want to remind you, I am not saying that sins against us, things people do to harm us, that they don't really hurt and hurt for a long time. That they do run deep. In fact, what Paul is dealing with here is to say he knows these kind of things happen. And he knows they are real. And sometimes because we are around the ones that we love the most and are most close to, because we have such great expectations of those we love and how we want them to treat us, that when we are sinned against, that pain is even deeper and hurts more. So Paul is acknowledging that these things that we do to one another, they do exist. And if he didn't tell us that, we would be able to tell him that people do hurt us. And we do hurt people. And if we do not address it the way the Lord calls us to, it will defile many. So what is the remedy to bitterness then? Well, that remedy is found in verse 32. And the prescription for this disease of bitterness within the heart and in our actions is forgiveness. In verse 32, the apostle says, by the Spirit, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Again, here is this short list of what our behaviors are to look like. And it's the behavior of the new man. And notice this verse 32 is in direct contrast to verse 31. You have the old man who lives in bitterness. We are to put that off, to put it away. And not just some of it, not just most of it, but all of it. And in verse 32, by contrast, we are to put on forgiveness. That's what we are. In Christ, we are the new man. And I want you to notice something about this word in verse 32. Notice he doesn't just say, and now do this. He's actually saying, be this. And there is a difference. Because being talks about it being of your nature. Being talks about who you are as a person. And you're being called here today in that being in that new man. If you have so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off bitterness and put on forgiveness, because that's who you have been created by God to be. Because you are a new man, a new woman, a new girl, a new boy in Christ Jesus. These things have been built into you as you have been made a new person. And so Paul here in this verse, verse 32, tells us two traits of the new person that define forgiving one another. And they are not necessarily easy, and they are not able to be done except by the empowerment of God's Spirit and His almighty power in our life. But that's what it means to be a new man. You have God's power in your life so that you can live a way that does not grieve Him, God the Spirit, but pleases Him. The first one here, Paul says, is to be kind. Again, be kind. Not just do kindness, but be kind to one another. And notice what a direct contrast that is to wrath and anger and clamor, and evil speaking, and malice. And to be kind is to be useful to that person. That's what it means. To be useful to that person. To be a blessing to those who have harmed you. Jesus spoke of this when he said in Luke 6, verses 27 to 28, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. That sounds like a good list of those who have hurt us, who have sinned against us, those who hate you, those who curse you, those who have spitefully used you. And when people treat us this way, it hurts. It is disappointing. It doesn't meet our expectations. And if you've been sinned against in this way, God's remedy for this pain in you is for you to be useful to the one who has sinned against you. To be kind. The old man would say, I will withhold love and kindness to this person who has hurt me, who has sinned against me. The new man not only says, but acts in a way that is otherworldly. He forgives. He puts away bitterness. And he actually becomes useful to the person who has sinned against him. Secondly, Paul says, be tender-hearted. And notice where Paul takes this to our hearts. Because forgiveness will have to start there as well. Just like bitterness grows in the heart. To be tender-hearted is to be compassionate. To be merciful to one another. Rather than being bitter-hearted, the new man will be tender-hearted. We might now be asking about, well, what about the person who has sinned against me? What are they to be doing? And brothers and sisters, I know that sometimes that is those who are closest to us. That is those who are Christian people, who are also new man people, and they still sin against us, and we still sin against them. What about that person? Well, each thing that Paul addresses in verses 25 to 30 are instructions about how we are to relate to one another. But verse 32 is instruction about how we are to relate to one another when we fail each other. And we do fail each other, don't we? We do. To be kind, useful, a blessing to those who have sinned against us, to be tender-hearted towards them is a manifestation of a new creature, the manifestation of a new person in Christ Jesus, the manifestation of not just doing things, but the being, the nature of who we are now. When someone sins against you, there may be many things that that person may need to do to show the fruits of repentance towards God and you. But you are called to be a forgiver, to be kind and tender-hearted, to not hold it against the sinning brother. You must have a forgiving spirit. The old man would have an unforgiving spirit. The new man, who is indwelt by the Spirit of God. The new man, the fruit of being a new man, is being a forgiving person. We sang Psalm 103 there, that second selection. As I mentioned, the Bible tells us that God knows we are frail. God knows we are but dust. God knows we are sinners by nature. And God is compassionate and merciful towards us. I think we need to be reminded when someone sins against us that they are sinners. When you look at me and I look at you, I need to remind myself that I'm looking at sinners, saved by the grace of God, yet still sinners, weak and frail. I think we also need to be reminded that just because we love someone so dearly, whether it be our wife or our husband, whether we love someone so dearly as a child or as we love our parents, that does not change who they are. And it has not changed who you are as a sinner, weak and frail. Much as you might like for that to happen, the only thing that changes a sinner is the Lord Himself. And He has changed us. He has transformed us into the new man. But we still struggle with that sin nature. And so we do still struggle against each other in our sins. Our full transformation does not happen all in this life. There's coming a day when that will be completed. But right now, day by day, we are being sanctified by God, by His Holy Spirit, being made more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. But we, as those who might have been sinned against, need to remember that person is still going through sanctification. That person is still struggling and wrestling with their sin, just like I am. That we have been transformed into a new person, that we may live like a new person. And that new person's life is to be modeled after Christ. And in the last part of verse 32 here, Paul gives us, by the Holy Spirit, the motivating reason for being a forgiving person. And that is the God-man, Jesus Christ. He is the reason we forgive others. Look at what the Spirit says, that we are to be forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Even as God in Christ forgave you. And I want you to notice three elements to the reason that Paul gives here to us forgiving others. And the first one is even as God. Telling us, here you have a standard. You're being called by God because you are a new man, and there is a standard for how you are to live in your new manness. And the standard is, in this particular application, when somebody has sinned against you and somebody has hurt you, no matter how deep they have hurt you, there is a way that you are called to live, and you are called to forgive, even as God has forgiven you. We have a standard, and it is the standard of God and His relationship with you. And there's a lot we could say tonight about the even as of God's forgiveness. But I just want to ask you, what have you experienced with God's forgiveness? How has God worked in your life through His forgiveness to you of your sins? I'd like you to think about that. Isn't that one of the things that we rejoice in? Isn't that one of the things that we glory in? Because we are forgiven. Isn't that one of the things that when we share the gospel with people, we want them to know that they can have forgiveness of their sins? This is a big deal that God has done this for us, and it is the standard in which we are to be moved and to use to be forgiving others. In that psalm that we've been singing tonight, Psalm 103, verse 3, tells us it is God who forgives all your iniquities. All of them. If we are to forgive one another as God has forgiven us, we are to forgive all sins against us. And I would ask you again, so that this is not just theory, but so that you're thinking in your heart and in your mind about your relationships, is there anyone who has sinned against you in which you are withholding forgiveness? For even if a little seed of bitterness remains, it won't remain little, and it will defile many. So first, let us think about that. Even as God forgives, how does God forgive? He forgives all your sins. Secondly, even as God forgives, We are to forgive because that forgiveness has already been given to you. Look at what Paul says. Christ forgave you. God in Christ forgave you. That has already happened. And whatever sins you may commit in the future, the blood of Christ has been applied to you to forgive you of all your sin. To forgive you of every sin. That's already happened. And so you are to be reminded of that. That you also are to have that kind of mentality. Not after somebody has forgiven you, but to already be the kind of person who is a forgiver so that when it does happen that somebody has sinned against you, you are ready to forgive. Because that's how God is. God is ready because He is a forgiver. Thirdly, there's a means by which God has forgiven you. And we are told here, in the last words of verse 32, God has forgiven you in Jesus Christ. God does not wink at your sins. God does not look at you and say, humans will be humans, what can I do? He does not turn away from them to forget them. God deals with your sins in the death of Jesus Christ. The Scripture tells us in various places, Isaiah 53, for example, He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. He has made His soul an offering for sin. This is how God has forgiven you. And when you think about your brother, and I'm applying this particularly to brothers and sisters in Christ, people who you love, you need to be remembering that this is what God has done for them as well. They are forgiven sinners if they are in Christ Jesus. And this is who Paul is talking about. We are to be forgiving who? One another. Who are the one another's? Particularly in the body of Christ. If you are a new man, a new woman, a new young person, boy or girl, by faith in Jesus Christ, it is because God has forgiven you and forgiven you of every one of your sins. And that is how you are to be forgiving others. Forgiveness is a manifestation of new man behavior. Forgiveness is a very serious thing to the Lord. It's very serious to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid His life for our forgiveness. And He taught His disciples a very serious lesson about forgiveness. I want to read it to you from Matthew. It is that episode when Peter asked the Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? 70 times 7, or 7 times rather. And Jesus said, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And then Jesus taught them a parable about a king who has come to settle his accounts with his citizens. And so he brought them in and called one man to pay up his debts. And the man could not pay his debts and pleaded for God for that king's mercy, telling him, give me time, don't put me in jail, give me time so I can pay the debt. And the master had mercy and compassion on him and not only gave him time, but he erased the whole debt. And then that same servant went out to people who owed him debts, who owed him money, and said, pay me what you have or I'll put you in prison. And they couldn't pay. And they pleaded for his mercy and compassion. And he said no, and he had him put in prison. And when the master heard about that, he brought that same servant in again and said, did you forget what I did to you? This is serious. So serious that Jesus said that if we do not forgive others as we have been forgiven by God, then we also will be handed over to the tormentors. Now, what is Jesus saying? Not that you get salvation and forgiveness by forgiving others. But what Jesus is saying is if you have been forgiven, you will be forgiving others. So great and wonderful is the forgiveness that we have for our sins, that those who have truly experienced that will be a new man, a new woman, a new boy and girl, and they will be forgiving one another. It's a true thing. The new man forgives because he has been forgiven. All his sins, all have been taken away. And just as God is prepared and ready to forgive to all those who call upon him for relief of their sin burden, so must we be ready to forgive. No matter how deep, no matter how hard. Because none of us have ever experienced being sinned against like Jesus was. And yet he laid down his life that God could forgive us through his sacrifice paid for our sin. And if you're a new man, if you're a new woman, if you're a new boy or girl through faith in Jesus Christ, then this is what you will be doing. You will be doing this. Maybe imperfectly. Maybe even at times having to repent of not forgiving, but you will come to this. Because this is what's been done for you in Christ Jesus. And we are called to forgive, even as God has forgiven us in Christ. May the Lord help us to do this, that we may bring glory to his name. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do ask, Lord, that you would be working in us these new man behaviors. Again, Lord, we know that this is your work, and yet we are called to put on the new man, to live out our lives according to what you have made us. Lord, we do ask that you would forgive us of our sin of bitterness and unforgiveness where it is, if it is in our lives today. And that you would enable us by your Spirit to forgive as we have been forgiven. Lord, help us not to walk away from here tonight just thinking about these things. But help us, Lord, to lay ourselves at the foot of the cross, to looking up to Jesus, who has already forgiven us through his shed blood and paid for our forgiveness and our pardon of sin, that we may be so moved, so reminded, that we would put away all bitterness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.